Dr. Camp, part two, our SSC vice chair. He will bring the SSC recommendations for our groundfish OFLs and ABCs. This is going to be a, unfortunately, we have a lot of groundfish stocks. This is going to be a two-part presentation. We're going to go through our individual stock components first, take a break for questions, comments, what have you. Not questions, sorry, not comments. Well, maybe comments. But then we'll come back to the TMGC recommendations that came out of the SSC. So when you are ready, Dr. Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there's a lot of stocks to go through here. Is it easier if I try to advance this? Has this been working?
I don't think it's working.
Okay. So I'm going to start with Atlantic wolffish and ocean pout. Those are sort of grouped together. Then take a look at Acadian redfish and white hake. There's two suites of flounder stocks, and then that's where we'll pause before the transboundary. Next slide, please. Before that, a couple overarching comments. As we understand, the SSC's role is to provide OFLs and ABCs, to recommend OFLs and ABCs that prevent overfishing, that are consistent with control rules and rebuilding plans, and apply the council's risk policy. The catch recommendations that were made in this suite of stocks were made at a longer timescale, 5 years, than were previous. The SSC understands the reasons for this. After a number of discussions, I believe that the SSC does understand the reasons for this now and is providing that catch advice. At the same time, this longer catch advice is inherently less certain. One reason for that is that the further into the future we get, the projected biomass and the catch becomes increasingly made up of year classes that haven't been observed yet. Essentially, if a lot of, you know, for example, there's a stock that has a lot of catch in years of ages, say, 3 through 5 or 2 through 5, if we're looking 5 years into the future, those fish, some of them haven't been born yet, some of them have been born but haven't started to show up in the data yet. So the projected catch in some of these out years is based off of what is termed paper fish, fish that are expected to be there based off projected recruitment, but we haven't actually observed them yet. It's more of an issue for fish that are shorter lived, shorter lifespans, recruit to the fishery quicker. It's less of an issue for fish that are longer lived and take longer to recruit to the fishery. So you're going to hear that term repeated a couple times through here. The overall issue is that the longer catch advice is inherently less certain. And so this provided the SSC a bit of a challenge to try to provide advice that was similarly useful for preventing overfishing while being more uncertain and without being systematically cautious with respect to catch. So the SSC worked through that a couple ways. One of the recommendations that came up repeatedly, so I'm just referencing it here so I won't say it every time, is that the SSC recommended that the projections research track working group be restarted. This was something that had been begun. Work had started on it, and then that has been paused. That's important to try to understand what the best practices are for projecting recruitment into the future. The best practices may vary by stock, by life history type, depending on the fishery context. And without having that information, it is not as easy for, it's proving to be a little bit more challenging for the SSC to be similarly confident that their recommendations will prevent overfishing, again, without being overly cautious with respect to the catch. Next slide, please. What emerged from SSC discussions over two or three meetings here is this general approach, which I'll outline here. And the SSC has sort of fell into this with an attempt to have a consistent approach without a prescriptive approach, which is not really its role with respect to risk. So SSC generally would consider the control rule for 5 years as the default and would then consider deviation from that control rule if there is substantial uncertainty, so high proportions of paper fish in the out years, or if there was substantial concern that the control rule would risk overfishing, or if the control rule would risk substantial socioeconomic hardship and deviating from it would not risk overfishing. So this is just, I want to be clear that this is a pattern. that I think is a useful framework for understanding how these decisions were made, but it is not a a risk policy. We're not trying to reinvent that. Next slide, please. So the Atlantic Wolffish and Ocean Pout, the terms of reference were to consider the results from the Northeast Fisheries Science Center data updates and info from the PDT, and then to recommend OFL and ABCs for 2026 through 2030 that, again, would prevent overfishing, be consistent with the control rules and the risk policy statement. Next slide, please. Wolffish has a data update in lieu of an assessment. The data update does not allow for updating reference points. What the SSC was presented was updated catch and survey data. The stock status as of 2021, so the previous time that stock status was assessed, was overfished, but overfishing was not occurring. And the stock has been managed since 2010 as a non-allocated discard-only stock, rebuilding with an undefined endpoint. The SSC's recommendations for OFL and ABCs were constant for the 5 years, which is a function of the projections or the lack of projections, as I'll mention in a moment, and are described here. Next slide, please. So the rationale was that the ABC control rule was to set the catch using the ABC control rule option A, which is catch at 75% of FMSY. It was difficult for the SSC to offer an alternative given that this data update precludes projections and that the catch and survey information were stable and at low abundance. The SSC noted a number of uncertainties. Most of these are ongoing uncertainties that have been raised in previous reviews. And in the case of Wolffish, a lot of these sort of fall in the bucket of unknown uncertainties, things that we don't have really clear indications of, well, this is a problem that has to be resolved, as much as we don't know these things. One exception to that is there are some species and survey, meaning the vessel specific calibration issues that should be validated for Wolffish. Some of them are used for Wolffish that are developed for ocean pout. The broader ones are trying to understand why the stock is not rebuilding despite the low catch, trying to understand if this is unaccounted for environmental effects or if there's something else, understanding if the lack of recruitment signal since 2005 is real or potentially a sampling artifact related to a change in gear, and understanding if the stock may be below survey detection levels or maybe perhaps outside of the survey range. So there's very few Wolffish caught and we don't exactly know why. Next slide, please. Some additional comments. I will say this here once. The SSC for most stocks had comments that they would like to revisit this sooner than 5 years. You've heard this once, so I won't repeat it every single time. SSC specific to Wolffish did say conducting a management track assessment as soon as possible that would consider possible or other options for modeling would be ideal, and also recommended considering Wolffish as an ecosystem component since the biomass is so low and it doesn't appear to be responding to restrictive management. Some of the research recommendations included treating the research vessels as separate surveys to consider the degree of change that would warrant reconsideration. So in a case where we're not getting very much data in, the SSC brought the point up of, well, what would it take for us to try to recommend something different here? We're just not seeing very much information. There is a need for studies on growth, stock structure, movement, habitat preference, and discard mortality. The SSC is clear-eyed about what the capabilities or capacities for NOAA are right now. They're still making the recommendations based off of what is unknown. And to develop approaches for handling zeros in the surveys, which is an issue for these less commonly encountered stocks. And finally, the SSC's recommendation was to consider analytic approaches. So as opposed to the data updates, either moving to a more complex state space model that may be able to use random effects to smooth over some of the rough edges of these stocks with less information, or, you know, opposite end of the spectrum, pivoting to simpler data poor approaches that may be less intensive of NOAA fisheries resources to run, but may still give some analytic results. Next slide, please. So Ocean Pout similarly is a data update in lieu of an assessment. So updated catch and survey data. Again, this does not allow for updating their reference points. The status similarly is overfished and overfishing is not occurring. This was as of 2021. It is, the SSC noted that this is assessed via a ratio-based index method, and that's going to be discussed later. Similarly to Wolffish, the SSC provided OFL and ABC recommendations held constant for 2026 through 2030 at 125 and 87, as shown here. Next slide, please. The rationale for the SSC's recommendations was that the to recommend the status quo because there's essentially no notable changes in the abundance. The SSC did consider using the ABC control rule here under option B. ABC is the catch with F rebuild using the exploitation ratio of 1977 to 1985. This would have increased the OFL and ABC slightly. The reason that the SSC did not go for this was, as described below in the uncertainties, the SSC had substantial concerns that this was not the most appropriate exploitation ratio to use for an F rebuild. And overall, despite 20 years of the rebuilding plan, the stock appears to still be declining in near historic lows, despite the low fishing mortality. So what's listed here is the uncertainty. This is the reason that the SSC brought up that they were concerned about this exploitation ratio-based proxy. The period of 1977 and 1985 was a period of pretty high productivity, apparently, for white hake. And so the fishing mortality rate from there was considered as a proxy for FMSY. It resulted in an FMSY that is quite high for a relatively long-lived species, and also it is possible that exploitation during that short time period, relatively short time period, compared to the lifespan of the species, may not be actually reflective of true sustainable F. Additionally, there's lobster fishery discards that have been understood better more recently. They're not included in the current assessments and reference points, so they're actually larger than some of the current OFLs, and that caused the SSC to have some concern about that. Next slide, please. Similar to Wolffish, the SSC thought it would be worth considering managing ocean pout as an ecosystem component species based off the low biomass and the lack of response to restrictive management. And similar to other stocks that will be talked about later, their SSC recommended considering whether there has been a change in productivity of the stock, whether that's driven by climate or perhaps compensatory mechanisms or something else, as a possible explanation for why recovery has not occurred. So the research recommendations were largely a reiteration of recommendations from previous assessments, evaluating the assessment method and the basis for the FMSY that I referenced previous, and to consider especially simpler assessment models, again, in the context of altered NOAA capacity. Next slide, please. Okay, so the rest of the groundfish non-transboundary stocks, the terms of reference for these are going to be to consider the recent assessments and information from the PDT, and then to recommend OFLs and ABCs for 2026 to 2030, again, to prevent overfishing, be consistent with the control rules, rebuilding plans, and risk policy. Going to go through Acadian redfish, then white hake, then winter flounder, then yellowtail flounder. Next slide, please. So Acadian redfish first. The assessment was done in 2025 as a management track. It was done with the WAM model. This was the first time that the WAM model was used for redfish. The stock status was not overfished, with the overfishing not occurring. The WAM model is a more complex modeling structure than the ASAP, which I'll talk about for the next stock. However, as this was the first time redfish was done in WAM, the WAM model used was a simpler version of WAM. So essentially, the assessment scientists attempted to sort of mimic the approaches of the previous platform, which the SSC appreciated because it helps with consistency. Recommendations for OFL and ABC are listed here for redfish for 2026 through 2030. Next slide, please. So the SSC used the ABC control rule option A with the ABC as a 75% of FMSY for its primary rationale. It considered row-adjusted projections, but it did not recommend them. The reason for this was that the assessment did give an indication that a row adjustment could be appropriate. However, this was based largely on the confidence intervals associated, which were fairly tight for the stock, more so than a dramatic retrospective pattern. And accordingly, the peer review panel did not recommend that a row adjustment was required. So the SSC agreed with that. The projections generally have low uncertainty because of the life history of the fish. It's long-lived and it takes a long time to reach the fishery. So there's a very low proportion of paper fish, even in these 5 years of projections. So no indication that option A would risk overfishing or be constraining socioeconomically, and generally relatively low uncertainty and good stock status. There were some uncertainties, including a lack of fit in the terminal year of the assessment to the survey data. And there is additional age data available that has been collected in the past, but not yet aged, that may improve the assessment further. A larger issue is that there appears to be large variation in catch and apparent productivity over time. And examination of that suggested that it's possible that the stock goes through periods of higher and lower productivity. But that's something that is considered not known yet. And the SSC recommended monitoring the effects of more consistent catch to see whether there are maybe changes in the future for this. Next slide, please. One of the additional comments is that while utilization is currently low, it is possible that this could increase in the future due to markets or management. The SSC does believe that the recommended catch for out years, the years 4 and 5, should still be appropriate if this occurs. And then there are research recommendations are for future assessments to use more of the available features of WAM. Again, this is referencing my previous comment that the assessment was done with a simpler run of WAM, and adding in some of the greater capabilities and complexities to it likely will improve the diagnostic issues, as well as potentially allowing exploration of environmental effects on recruitment, selectivity, and other issues. One of the research recommendations was to consider possible Gulf of Maine, Scotian Shelf migration patterns to complete the aging of the archived redfish to bolster the age information, and to consider length frequency modeling and state survey data in the WAM construct. Next slide, please. White Hake was done, the assessment for that was done in 2025 using the ASAP model. That is an age-structured model, so it's a simpler structural platform than WAM. The stock status was determined to be not overfished, with overfishing not occurring. White Hake is in a rebuilding plan, and progress towards that rebuild had occurred, but appears to have stalled recently with especially low recruitment. The recommendations for White Hake are provided here for OFL and ABC for 2026 through 2030. Next slide, please. The SSC's rationale for the recommendations for ABC is based off option B of the control rule, which is F rebuild at 70% of FMSY. In addition to this, the appearance that the rebuild is stalled out with recent recruitment and low or moderate uncertainty in out years of paper fish, so less uncertainty than the flounder stocks that I'll talk about in a minute, but more so than redfish, led to the SSC's substantial concern that deviating from the control rule would risk overfishing. There's a number of important uncertainties here that I'll go through in some detail. First is the SSC heard from and understood that utilization by the fishery is high and that the stock is likely to be a constraining stock, as well as industry perceptions of stock health seem to be inconsistent with what the assessments were saying, which was essentially SSC received letters and public comments suggesting that, well, actually, White Hake appears common. The assessment seems to indicate that the stock is declining with low recruitment. One of the other uncertainties that the catchet age is not well characterized prior to 1989. And because of this, pooled and survey age length keys have been applied to commercial catch. And this is for the catchet age data that go into the model. Again, there's some moderate projection uncertainty from the life history and apparent change in productivity here. This is referring to recent recruitment that appears to be very low. One of the other issues with this was that the reference points and related to rebuilding uses assumptions for recruitment that are different than the short-term catch advice projections. If there's a lot of questions on that, I'll probably go over that later. I'm just going to say that for right now. They're different. The peer review thought that those were good enough to use, and the SSC agreed with them. And then the final uncertainty here is possible seasonal movement out of the stock out of the defined area. This is a holdover uncertainty from previous assessments. It was not something that the assessment team highlighted, that the peer review highlighted, or that the SSC highlighted. Next slide, please. The SSC, these are additional comments. The SSC agreed with a peer review panel that the standard projection should be used until best practices for projections could be established. This refers to that previous uncertainty, which is, you know, should we use projections for catch that are consistent with the long-term reference points or that appear to match the recent patterns that are seen? And then there is concern about the lack of recruitment despite low catch. Does this signal a change in productivity? That's something that requires additional work. The research recommendations were to continue evaluating how recruitment is specified in the short-term projections and in the reference points. And there's discussion of this in the peer review panel report. And then to move from ASAP to a WAM platform to explore recruitment and environmental drivers. Next slide, please. So on to the winter flounder stocks. There's three stocks that were considered: Georgia's Bank, Gulf of Maine, and Southern New England Mid-Atlantic. I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. Georgia's Bank is an analytical assessment, so that means it's model-based and was done using WAM, which is the more complex platform. That assessment came back as not overfished, with overfishing not occurring. The Gulf of Maine is an empirical assessment, meaning they're using data, in this case, a swept area calculation. The overfished status is not known, and overfishing is not believed to be occurring. And then the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic stock was analytical with an ASAP. That's the simpler platform, an age-structured platform, with overfishing not overfished and overfishing not occurring. A couple overall comments here. One was that the SSC recommended resuming the winter flounder research track to improve the understanding of species drivers that might operate across the stock. Related to that, the SSC recommended potentially transitioning to either multi-stock assessments using WAM that could sort of leverage the information from the different stocks within the same species, or other options for deciphering the environmental drivers of the dynamics. Then this is one of the stocks that has a really high proportion of the spawning stock biomass and the catch in the out years being made up of these paper fish. And it's because a lot of the fish in these 3 to 5 years have yet to recruit. So the assessment is based off what we expect to be there, not based off what's being seen yet. Next slide, please. So going over Georgia's Bank winter flounder first, this was the first use of WAM for this stock. The stock is in a rebuilding plan, and the assessment concluded that the stock was rebuilt. The recommendation was for the following OFLs and ABCs as shown here. Next slide, please. And these OFLs and ABCs follow the ABC control rule option A, catch at 75% of FMSY. The SSC did consider holding ABC constant for the final 2 years. decided against us on this justification. It was true that the final 2 years would have been uncertain because of the life history and the paper fish issue. However, the stock was assessed to be greater than the SSB at MSY, so greater than that reference point, and option A was considered to provide sufficient precaution against overfishing. Additionally, recent catch was considered to be much less than the option A values, so the ABC wasn't considered to be constraining. So there didn't seem to be sufficient justification to deviate from the control rule in this case. One of the research recommendations is that natural mortality is fixed across ages. For a lot of the stocks that we're working with now, we use an age-specific natural mortality. The SSC recommended exploring updating that. Next slide, please. The Gulf of Maine winter flounder is shown here. So lack of recruitment data that inhibits projections here. So this was an empirical assessment using a swept area calculation. The stock does appear to be stable, but at low levels and appears to have not responded much to low catches. So the following ABCs and OFLs were recommended by the SSC for all years 2026 through 2030. Next slide, please. The rationale for this was option A of the ABC control rule with having constant catch for 2026 through 2030. That should say 2030. Being well justified based off the empirical approach, the paper fish uncertainty issue, and consistency with past recommendations. One of the additional comments was the SSC was generally uncomfortable with assigning overfishing status using empirical methods and recommended restarting work to transition to WAM, which might resolve this. SSC also recommended coordinating across data collection efforts to address questions about stock structure and survey catchability. Next slide, please. Then finally, Southern New England and Mid-Atlantic winter flounder. The stock status was rebuilt as of 2022, although recruitment and natural mortality appear sensitive to environmental conditions, which cannot be explored with the ASAP model. This was assessed in. Recommended the following OFLs and ABCs, which are decreased from the prior levels. The asterisk here represents the SSC's recommendation that the ABC be held constant for years 3 through 5, but that the OFL level be allowed to vary for those years. That calculation was not available at the time for the SSC making its recommendation, so the asterisk indicates that final year be recalculated if possible, with the SSC understanding and accepting that. Next slide, please. The rationale for the catch advice here, the SSC considered using the ABC control rule of option A, which is 75% at FMSY, but recommended using 50% of FMSY, holding year 3 constant for years 4 and 5. This was based on substantial uncertainty in that year projections, again, the paper fish issue, concerns for the reference points, especially with the poor indicators of stock health. The stock does not appear healthy based off of very low recruitment that does not appear to have turned around despite low fishing. Some of the uncertainties that were mentioned include a major uncertainty of whether retaining the F40% as the FMSY proxy was apparent under what appears to be a much lower productivity level for this stock, and the overarching uncertainty that the reason for the spawning stock biomass decline is not clear. Next slide, please. Research recommendations included fitting a stock recruitment model to test whether the F40% remains an appropriate proxy for FMSY, and to consider either of these next two options. One would be a spatial temporal model. One of the common ones that's being used a lot now is called VAST, that can integrate multiple surveys to estimate a comprehensive index of abundance. Essentially, the idea here is with a lot of survey data that is inherently taken at some spatial area, we have statistical approaches that integrate that into an overall index of abundance, and that could be useful. An alternative to that is to transition to a modeling framework that can the stock assessment modeling framework that can do that for you. Next slide, please. I'm sorry, this got a little garbled on us. Here, this is Yellowtail Flounder, which was done for the Cape Cod and Gulf of Maine with a WAM assessment, analytical assessment, and it was overfished and not undergoing overfishing for Southern New England Mid-Atlantic, and then for Georges Bank. Do I have that right? Yeah. I'm sorry, for Georges Bank. So all of these were done with the analytical WAM model, and all were overfished, and overfishing was not occurring for any of the stocks. It was the first use of WAM for the 2025 research track for this stock. The transition to WAM allowed the stocks to, or one of the comments was that it would be possible to, similar for Winter Flounder, consider these stocks as in a multi-stock model. And the, like Winter Flounder, the SSC was aware that the Yellowtail Flounder would have, again, this really pronounced paper fish issue. Next slide, please. So the Cape Cod, Gulf of Maine, Yellowtail Flounder. The assessment produced a pretty large increase in scale and revised the stock status to overfished. The following OFLs and ABCs were recommended as the highest level of catch by the SSC, again with the PDT recalculating the OFL with the ABC remaining constant. Next slide, please. The rationale for this was to use the control rule option A, holding constant in out years due to high uncertainty in paper fish, and that the stock status was low with declining recruitment for the last 10 years. Some of the uncertainties that also gave the SSC pause here is that there's changes in reference points and shifts in biomass within the time series of the model predictions that seem concerning, along with high recruitment variability and substantial uncertainty in projected spawning stock biomass. And then just the final point here is to note again that the OFLs are allowed to vary with the ABCs held constant. Next slide, please. One of the comments that came up out of a lot of SSC discussion for specifically this and one of the other Yellowtail stocks was that some assessments may improve the model diagnostics at the cost of biological realism. What this essentially is saying is that the models can fit the data very well, but do they do so while producing changes or fluctuations in the biomass that are difficult to believe? The SSC recommended consideration of this possible challenge for the stock, as well as work to continue including environmental variables in the modeling and to understand any correlations with cod movements. Next slide, please. Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounder. This assessment included the Gulf Stream Index to inform recruitment. The stock is at a historic low. It's in a rebuilding plan. These are the OFLs and ABCs recommended. Again, the PDT will recalculate OFL as available. Next slide, please. The SSC considered a number of different options for this. The first was option B, which is F rebuild. So that's 70% of FMSY. The second is option B, held constant for the out years. And the third is catch based on bycatch, holding ABC constant for all years, which is what the SSC recommended, holding ABC constant for fiscal or fishing years 2026 to 2030. Again, allowing the OFLs to move. This is consistent with past SSC recommendations. The rationale for this was that the SSC had real concerns about the optimism of the projections given the lack of age data, the missing data, the treatment of zeros within WAMs, the substantial uncertainty from paper fish, and then very low recruitment and SSB. So essentially the model based off expected recruitment is more optimistic than the data that were observed appear to be, and the SSC was concerned about that. Next slide, please. So again, for this, the SSC is recommending managing the stock as bycatch because it did not believe that any level of targeted catch could be recommended as appropriate. So it hoped that setting the ABCs at lower than 33 metric tons could be considered based off bycatch data when those data were available. As mentioned at the start of the stock uses Gulfstream Index information in the projected recruitment. The SSC noted that it might be possible to use forecasts of the Gulfstream Index, so basically forecasting how the climate and the environment changes in order to make hopefully more useful projections in the model. SSC recommended exploring zero value treatment. Some of the WAM model can be challenging to separate zero catch from did not sample, and that's a consistent issue. And then to revisit whether the 40% SPR proxy is appropriate. So that's the conclusion of the non-transboundary groundfish stocks, which is a lot. I'm sorry for talking that much in such a rapid and monotonic fashion. I'll take questions and comments as I'm able.
Thank you, Dr. Campin. Yes, that's quite a bit. Six species, nine stocks. But you guys had a lot to talk about. And hopefully we have some good questions for you here. So I will look around the council right now. John Pappalardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. One of the last slides you showed, you referenced the concern the SSC had, and I think I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but it said something about concern that for several assessments, pursuit of the or use of diagnostics to make data fit seems to be working, but then it leaves the question, if I understand it properly, it leaves the question, does the result or answer make sense? What stocks or what specific assessments do you apply that to, or have you seen it come and go with different iterations of the assessment process? Just if you could color that in a little bit more for us.
Yeah, I believe I'll do my best to make my response here reflective of what the SSC discussion was, which is my job. There's always the possibility that a model can overfit the data, that the model can fit the data really well, but produce parameter estimates that are not biologically realistic. That is always a possibility regardless of what's going on. The stocks in concern here were the yellowtail flounder stocks. And one of the specific areas of concern was the rapid fluctuations in the model predicted biomass. The WAM modeling platform is very flexible, and it is also powerful, and it allows the estimation of what is called numbers at age random effects. And those can account for a whole suite of different changes, changes in natural mortality, changes in this shouldn't be recruitment, changes in movement, potentially some changes in detection, although it shouldn't be that as much as that's something that's done separately. So one of the things that can happen is a model can fit really pronounced random effects that result in saying, well, there's a lot of fish. The biomass decreases really rapidly in one year, and then it can increase again really rapidly in the next year. Obviously, fish can't come back to life. And so biologically, one possible way this could happen is if fish are moving in and out of the area that's being considered with the assessment. And that is absolutely possible. The SSC had some concerns that the scale with which the biomass was changing year over year for some of the yellowtail flounder stocks might not be believable, and was concerned that it could be related to missing data zero issues, but that was not something that the SSC could dig into to say that with confidence. Does that help to explain the question? If you have follow-up on it, it's obviously it's a sensitive thing because everybody respects that the WAM platform is useful and then it is powerful, but there's some stocks for which it may be that the data are fit in a way that is producing year over year estimates that are not that reliable. The SSC didn't have as big concerns with the overall status that was coming out of the assessments.
Mr. Pearnock.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Camp. Just a few things. You pointed out with wolffish and a few other species that few fish are caught, and utilizing that as a line of evidence of a poor status of the stock. And I just like specifically point the wolffish that's been closed for some time now. And back when I could fish for it, I could religiously go to the same location, same time of year, and it typically corresponded to mussel beds and catch wolffish. But since it's been closed, I don't go to those areas, don't target them, and as a result, then I'm not catching wolffish. So I just wanted to provide that as a comment with wolffish or other species, that to say because fewer caught may depend upon the whether it's a commercial or recreational gear type, they're just not going to those areas, and that could be reflective of that kind of behavior. As far as winter flounder, I'm curious. We keep referring to data poor, each one of them having less data, not having adequate data. Winter flounder, for example, there's a recreational biological sampling project that's taken place by select captains from the four higher fleet that caught significant number of winter flounder. The data was processed and from what I understand could be used for stock assessment purposes. And since we're looking for opportunities for, to have other ways in which to generate data and put it to use, I'm curious to whether that was included in this latest round with winter flounder.
Thank you very much for the question. I'm going to focus on the first one first, which is the valid question of, so I'm saying, well, there's not many of these fish caught, but this is for a stock for which there isn't a targeted take. That's maybe in a little bit uncareful with my language. I'm using caught here, but when I'm saying that, I'm referring to the survey data. So for wolffish, there's substantial zeros, or there's very low catches even in the survey data, which is the fisheries independent survey data. And so presumably, when we're seeing those declines, that's not a function of commercial or recreational fishers fishing in an area where the stock isn't. It's a scientifically designed sampling program. So that was what was referred to for the wolffish. For the winter flounder, I want to try to be careful. I don't believe that the SSC is suggesting that the data do not exist to be able to run the assessment models that are being run. One of the things that is concerning for some of the stocks is that the capacity of NOAA to complete some of the more intensive assessments, whether they're done in the SWAM platform or in ASAP, may be stretched thin. And the SSC was recommending that as an alternative to some of the empirical-based approaches like the swept area, some of the data poor methods might be a way to get an actual analytical assessment that would be helpful for returning reference points and for making projections. To your very specific question, I do not know whether that winter flounder program produced data that were integrated into the assessment, but I do not believe that's the case. Can I check with someone quickly? Robin.
Ms. Fried.
Hi, Robin Friede, the council's groundfish plan coordinator. So I think Mr. Pearnock, you were asking about the some of the recent data collection efforts from the recreational biological program. And this might be a question to confirm with Dr. Simpkins. My understanding is that those are a pretty recent couple of years. So that wouldn't have been included in these current assessments for winter flounder based on the terminal year. Maybe I'd look to Dr. Simpkins to confirm. That's my understanding. It's probably too soon to have included them, but they could be a source to be included in the next assessment cycle.
I think that's right.
Yes, Ms. Peter.
Now, thank you for that clarity. I just want to point it out because the amount of catch was so considerable and inconsistent with data from the past that it could, result in a different outcome of the status of the stock. So those fish weren't supposed to be there and they were there. And it's consistent with a lot of other examples of how stocks have shifted and where you find them and what time of year. This is another example of that, and provides a good data set of something that there was a robust catch for that hasn't been taken into consideration yet. So I encourage that use of that data in the future. And that the project's ongoing for cod as well as for winter flounder. Thank you.
Yeah, I would also encourage you, Mr. Pernock, and the rest of your cohorts at ArcLignet to continue keep doing that. And whoever is your PI on it should be also pushing to get this information into the process as well. Any further questions for Dr. Camp? Sorry, Terry.
Sorry, I was trying to get my hand up on my thing, but it wouldn't come up. Thank you. So I listened to the conversation around, I listened to the whole first day of conversations of the SSC meeting, and I listened, three or four times to the hake conversation. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit more on what the SSC was thinking about the uncertainties that we're looking at with white hake? Please.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm going through my slides so I can pull it up here. It may be useful. I believe it's slide 18. No, slide 17. I'm sorry. Yeah, just to pull this up. So I'm just going to go tick through these one by one, understanding this is important, important stock, and there's probably interest here. So the first uncertainty was basically recognizing that the SSC received comment from the industry that white hake not only appeared to be easy to catch, but appeared to be difficult to avoid. And we wanted to, SSC wanted to reflect that they had received that comment and that that seemed to be an indication of abundance that was contrasting with what the assessment was, which was declining abundance. So that was the first uncertainty. The second uncertainty was something that was mentioned, not a focus of the SSC discussion, as you know, but was coming out of the peer review panel review. And it's just a recognition that there wasn't a lot of catch. There wasn't catch at age data well characterized before 1989. And so what that meant was that either pooled data from other times or from survey age length keys were used to assign ages for those earlier data because the assessment tool requires catch at age. So that's that uncertainty. The third one has two different parts. They're put in the same bullet here. The first is, you know, what whether you call it low or moderate, it's some projection uncertain because of life history. So if this is off the top of my head, but I think somewhere in the range of 25% of the catch in the out years is composed of paper fish. So not nothing, but not super high like for the flounder stocks. That's the first part of that third bullet there. The second one is more complex, and it has to do with the assumptions about recruitment. So in analytic assessments, the reference points, which would then refer to the rebuilding points, are based off of analytically recruitment. And I believe that this was a cumulative distribution function of recruitment for a longer term time period. So more or less, that's like this statistical expectation, the expected recruitment for a big, long time series. That's what the reference points are based off of. So the stock appears to be less productive than it has been recently. And so the projected catch in the short term, in the near future, it seemed unreasonable to use these long-term assumptions that recruitment is going to be average, you know, then, you know, a mean of these older sort of bygone eras. That's editorializing on my part. And so that's why there's, you know, it's termed inconsistency. So the short-term projections are using one way of expecting what the future recruitment will be, while the reference points are using another. This is acknowledged. The peer review thought this was actually probably appropriate. There's a number of stocks that it can go through sort of periods of lower and higher productivity, like some of the ones that I described, like Redfish. So I don't think that it's problematic to do that. There is a second layer of nuance to that, and you asked for the details when we go through this. The second layer of nuance here is, you know, how should the short-term projections recruitments be done? What the peer review panel and the SSC agreed with was using a previous SAW 56, and I can't off the top of my head remember what the SAW stands for, but I believe a previous amendment. Stock assessment. Thank you. A previous stock assessment assumption about the recruitment, and that's basically using, I think, a 10-year period of recruitment for the projected recruitment into the future. There was an alternative approach, which was using an autoregressive first order, which is a time series tool that would get around the issue of having one recruitment assumption for the long term and a different recruitment assumption for the short term. The peer review panel didn't believe that there were strong enough benefits with that alternative approach to sort of overcome the challenges that were also involved with it. So there's a lot in that third point, but the SSC's discussion about it was, for the most part, yeah, that makes sense. And then the fourth point I did with the help of Robin and other folks try to chase down where that came from, because this was not something that was raised in the actual 2025 assessment. It wasn't brought up in the peer review of the assessment and wasn't brought up in the SSC. We believe that it is something that came, again, from previous assessments, perhaps a result of whitehead being less well studied than some of the other groundfish species. And at some point in time, this was considered. So it is here. It's, you know, provided to the SSC by the PDT. The SSC, you know, can stand behind it, and it's absolutely something that's possible, but it wasn't something that there was an indication of that the SSC heard of or discussed. If you have any follow-up on those, I will do my best.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it makes sense, but, you know, what I wasn't hearing out of it was the, you know, how much the survey timing had changed over the years, and you know, to address the last bullet there, the seasonal movement, because that survey has changed over time. Whether it's 2, 3, 4 weeks, it's the springtime, things are getting pretty active in the Gulf of Maine. You know, you haven't got to miss a couple weeks, and you may miss, you know, the monkfish moving out of the shoal water to the deep water, the hake moving east instead of still sitting in Murray's where they usually are sitting when the survey comes up through. So, I mean, timing's everything when it comes to that survey, and you know, where we're relying heavily on that survey now. I mean, you know, I was looking at our last trip, and we had 20% sow hake, 60% large hake, and some mediums and smalls and a lot of them, quite a few of them. And we're catching them in places that we were in 82 fathoms a lot of that last trip. And we shouldn't be catching hake up there. We should catch a couple hundred pounds, but not a couple thousand pounds, you know. So, you know, they are moving, but that could have been a seasonal movement, because we're going from fall to the winter regime now. So, I mean, there's a lot of, and it's a very, the groundfish industry is very dependent on hake being properly assessed. So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the comment. And that's something that wasn't provided in the presentation here, and it's not something that was a focus of the SSC discussions. Mr. Chair, if you're okay with it, I can provide some further insight on this.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I was also on the peer review panel that did look at this. So this was something that we did go over quite a bit. And that panel did support the addition of the bottom long line survey. So there's the spring and fall bottom long line survey, as well as the bottom trawl survey. So there is substantial survey data of both seasons that are included, and the additions of these data to the assessment did seem to improve the assessment in terms of the diagnostics as well as the fit. And there was nothing that was especially concerning there with respect to, you know, did it produce unrealistic parameters. We didn't see anything like that. And there was a discussion about whether there have been changes in gear. There was some discussion about whether there have been some selectivity issues, and what that peer review assessment seemed to believe was that actually the bottom longline survey was pretty good with pretty good at catching white hake, that it had a higher catchability than some of the previously used data, and that it, at least, you know, the peer review part suggested that the change in the survey based catch was more likely a function of availability than it was selectivity. So that you do not have to take my word for it. This is in the peer review report. But, you know, absolutely, the SSC recognizes that it is possible that there can be environmental or other changes in where a stock goes. And that, you know, that is absolutely, you know, an uncertainty.
Thank you for that context. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Dr. Kemp, for your presentation. You did a great job, by the way, while the federal government was shut down, to be chairing the SSC during some pretty difficult discussions. So great job to you and your team who were available during that time. I just have a, since we're on this white hake screen, I just have a quick question in regards to rebuilding a pairs stalled with recent low recruitment. So in looking at the data, this has been noted in past assessments for white hake, but it appears that the smaller fish, juveniles of white hake, haven't been well sampled by the trawl survey. They're not really picked up very well in the young ones in the commercial catch. So the shrimp survey in the past was actually where a lot of that data came from. It is good to see that the assessment is now including the aging data from the bottom longline survey. But I'm just curious now, you know, we don't have a shrimp survey anymore. So how are we looking at the data for determining recruitment? If we don't have surveys, or if we have a commercial fishery that's not going to be catching those small fish. I asked this question because Terry just mentioned that, you know, the catch has been, from what the commercial fishery has been seeing, is a really robust, you know, age classes overall, but with an emphasis recently on the larger fish and what are they, sow, extra large white hake. So they're seeing the population be bigger, but that's also where they're fishing and how they're fishing. But they're not going to be really encountering or catching, because of their gear, that small fish. So how would we know, like, how would you look for recruitment?
Yes, so this is a valid question. Again, I want to try to separate, you know, what the SSC discussed from other things that I looked at in preparation for this, understanding this is a stock of concern. So this is not, that specific question was not something that I believe the SSC spent a lot of time discussing. It is something that is obviously a concern. The materials from the actual stock assessment team does have a pretty nice visual for the catch at the catches at age for each of the gears. And so you're correct that there's not many of the survey gears that appear to do a good consistent job at catching the age ones. But a lot of the survey gears, especially the bottom long line, should do a pretty decent job and appear to up until about 2021 of the H3s. And so I think that what the, I believe, this is my belief as a scientist, I believe that what the model is seeing and the reason that the, what you read up there is that there appears to be a rebuilding stall based off low recruitment is that when we see these repeated years now, if you have three straight years of very low or no H3 catch along with almost no H2 catch, that's what's concerning. So it isn't just that there's low catches in the H1, which was not a probably a fully selected age for a lot of the gears, but we would have expected those H2s and H3s to be there. And so that's the concern. So specifically, if you want to look this up, these are the believe that the fall and especially the fall, but also the spring bottom long lines will show that distribution of catches. So I believe that's where that's coming from. I don't think that it is an aberration or a construct of the model. Again, just to be clear, this is not something that the SSC went into a lot of discussion. This was stuff that I just did to prepare in case there were questions on it.
Much appreciated. Seeing no further questions, we can move on to the remaining component of your TMGC deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Okay, so the transboundary groundfish, the terms of reference here was for the SSC to review the recommendations from the TMGC and the information provided by the council staff and to then to confirm the guidance for the US equivalent of OFL and ABC. This is for Georges Bank Cod, Georges Bank Haddock, and Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder. Georges Bank Haddock was assessed by the U.S. in 2024 using WAM and then assessed by Canada in 2025, also using WAM, but at a smaller spatial scale. The U.S. assessment returned a status of not overfished with overfishing not occurring, and the Canada assessment, which uses different terms, class of stock in the healthy zone. The TMGC considered both assessments in its deliberations. It used an apportionment that was improved with respect to the strata. This was referring to the presentation that Executive Director O'Keefe just made. And so that included the Georges Bank, and it results in a total US ABC of 4,425 metric tons, which is that 21% of the TAC plus Western Georges Bank. Next slide, please. Georges Bank Cod was assessed by the U.S. in 2024 using WAM and by Canada in 2025 using WAM at a smaller scale, which did yet produce larger spawning stock biomasses than the U.S. model estimates. The U.S. model found it to be overfished with overfishing not occurring, and Canada found the stock to be in a critical zone, which is much lower than their limit reference points. The TMGC opted to use the Canada assessment because it was appeared to be more reflective of fleet structure and practices, and a low risk of stock decline with the fishing mortality strategy. As mentioned before with comments here, this apportionment assumes 100% of biomass in the Eastern Georges Bank area, resulting in a US ABC of 151 metric tons. Next slide, please. And then Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder, there was no Canadian assessment, so the only assessment was the 2025 U.S. assessment using WAM. It's found to be overfished with overfishing not occurring. The TMGC used the U.S. assessment as it was their only option with 31 metric tons of the ABC allocated to the U.S. One of the notes that the SSC talked about briefly here was that there were, it was difficult to track the cohorts through this here, even with the catch and survey data. So environmental versus fishing effects was difficult to decipher for the stock. There's a couple overarching comments. And again, this references what Executive Director O'Keefe mentioned before. The SSC had some concerns regarding the transboundary groundfish process. the process continues to change, and those changes can be challenging for the SSC to follow and to best understand its role in it. The SSC's role could be described as limited in 2025, with accepting the outcomes and recommending some improvements. It appeared that the 2025 approach did result in multiple assessments of the same stock at similar but not the same scales, using often the same model platform, but done perhaps in slightly different ways. And so this resulted, as you saw for Cotton Haddock, in models that largely overlapped, but in the case of COD, where, you know, the US one was not used. So the SSC brought up whether this was efficient because it made a lot of work to do for each country to do a model, but then it was difficult to compare them because they weren't done in the same consistent fashion. And so the SSC was concerned that the process that seemed to eliminate the track and decrease involvement of fishing representatives was not overall helpful for the management. And the SSC did note that the process can result, the overall process, which is the process of the assessments through the apportions, can result in outcomes with real negative socioeconomic consequences, such as the 100% allocation of COD to Eastern Georgia's Bank. Next slide, please. So the SSC recommended considering bringing back a track-like process that would allow for greater involvement, consider options for addressing some of these spatial scale mismatches that occurred, and overall to increase and improve the stakeholder feedback that is provided and incorporated into the assessments, and specifically, hopefully, to improve the apportionment protocol. Next slide, please. Some additional comments and research recommendations here. The Georgia's Bank COD, again, the spawning stock biomass from the Canadian East Georgia's Bank model was greater than that which was projected from the U.S. Georgia's Bank model, despite a smaller footprint. It was recommended that this be resolved, whether it's issues with assumptions of the natural mortality or whether it's something where one assessment model is estimating a large unproductive stock and another is estimating a small productive stock, which is a common trade-off. For Georgia's Bank Haddock, SSC recommended examining and updating the density-dependent effects of growth and weighted age in WAM assessments to improve the performance. And for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, recommended, again, considering as bycatch-only stock, which would require coordination with Canada. And the final slide is just for questions.
Thank you, Dr. Kemp. Any questions on the SSC's deliberations on the TMGC recommendations? Seeing none. Thank you for your presentations. There's a lot of information there, and I do thank you and echo what we heard. Thank you for taking over the SSC during our government shutdown. You guys did a great job. Obviously, some of our federal partners weren't there to help with some of the discussion components, but I think you guys did a really good job of bringing a good product to this table. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also, thank you for we received a tremendous amount of help from the PDT and from the council staff overall, and we're very appreciative of that.
We're going to take a 15-minute break. We will be back at 3:15. Thank you.